Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Hey, our phoner, welcome to everyone listening on WHME Radio in South Bend, Indiana, and those listening on KGov to Bob Enyart Live, welcome. Please feel free to call at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 or 303-463-7789. Think about what it cost the Islamic extremist to attack us. Think about the cost and the trade-off to them. We lost 7 buildings and a few thousand people. The Islamic extremist lost a country. They lost a country, an army, and an entire government. That's what they lost. And that's what God in the Bible tells us, that if you will execute swiftly with the sword, use weapons to execute criminals, to kill them, then you will deter them. And in this case, the criminal, of course, there were figureheads like the mullah and Osama, but the criminals were Al-Qaeda and the Taliban government, the government of Afghanistan. That's what needed to be killed. The Taliban needed to be killed. It needed to be dismantled. The government needed to be destroyed, and that, for the most part, has been accomplished. And Lord willing, that our troops continue to have the success they're having, it will be utterly dismantled, and the Islamic extremist will have lost a country. So that's the trade-off. And do you see why God says if you use the death penalty, it will be a deterrent? It will be a deterrent. We lost 7 buildings and a few thousand people. The Islamic extremist lost a country, an army, and an entire government. That's good. Why? Because it will deter other Islamic extremist governments or Arab governments that have a passionate hatred and an aggressive stance against the United States. When Iran shouts out death to America by their religious leader in Tehran and 100,000 Muslims following him screaming death to America, and Iran has been a terrorist supporting country, once we destroy the government of Afghanistan because they have harbored terrorists, then Iran has to think twice. They have no choice. It doesn't matter how much the Iranian government hates us, they realize that a precedent has been established, and if a terrorist act is committed against America by some homegrown native terrorist organization, then we will view that as an act of war upon us by that foreign government. And so Iran will rein in their own terrorists. Now, what we need to do once Afghanistan is mopped up, then we need to turn our ships around in the Indian Ocean and get around the peninsula there, head up into the Persian Gulf, and start attacking Saddam Hussein. And we need to destroy his government because of the 3,000 scientists he is employing to build chemical and biological weapons to attack America, anthrax, the plague, so whatever they think they could successfully pull off. We need to destroy him. We should have done it 10 years ago. It was a big mistake, big mistake. We need to destroy him, and then we'll have sufficiently, and that needs to be done. That cannot be left undone, and America has responded appropriately to the terrorist attack of 9/11. That has to be done. The Afghanistan government and the government in Iraq need to be destroyed, and then that will almost certainly deter the governments of Sudan and Yemen and Saudi Arabia for their just their subtle support and their the payoff money they give to terrorists, and Syria and Iran and anyone else that needs persuading. That's what needs to be done. If we could use an international coalition to do it and they'll hang in there with us, great. If not, we do it alone. But there, how many countries now have frozen funds of suspected terrorists? How many countries? It's over 100 countries. And there are a lot of countries in different ways supporting us. This is the time to get this job done. Even Morocco's in it. Even Morocco's in the coalition against terror. Now, do you know what Morocco's doing, what they're contributing? It turns out, we weren't sure. We looked into it. They're providing all the anchovies for the U.S. military. That's what Morocco, that's all we could find out for sure. Maybe they're doing something else. But they're providing all the anchovies. That's great. All right. Now, 2 days ago, it was Tuesday, our American military made what it believed was its first direct hit on a building housing members of the Al-Qaeda leadership in Afghanistan. And Pentagon officials said that they know that they killed Al-Qaeda leaders and Taliban leaders, but they weren't sure yet who exactly. And the Taliban, our U.S. intelligence, as they've said that bin Laden and his inner circle have left the mountain caves where they were believed to be hiding, and they're now on the move. Now, one reason, there are massive cave complexes there in the mountains of Afghanistan around Kabul and Kandahar. And my son Nathaniel and I, we've been in a cave. Well, actually, it was a mine in Colorado where they mine molybdenum. You call it moly. And an interesting mineral, moly. And this cave, we went down into the earth. How far did we go down? Well over 1,000 feet, straight down. And way down there, there was an entire world under the ground, 1,000 feet under the ground. And way more than 1,000 feet. If memory serves, it might have approached 2,000 feet. There were miles and miles and miles of roadways. We drove around for hours that far underground. There's a city under there. There are gas stations and machine shops and cafeterias and offices and supply shops. It's startling. They have dump trucks down there that dwarf the dump trucks you see on the surface streets. Dwarf. Would you agree with that? I'm asking one of my studio audience members. You could take a dump truck that we use today and practically put it in the back, load it onto the dump trucks that they use to haul around ore and moly. My son Nathaniel thinks you could put two of our dump trucks load up on one of those things. They were huge. And you remember how many miles of roadways under there? You're right. You're right. It was 200 miles. 200 miles of roadways. That's amazing. And so the caves, of course, they don't have the money that we have here that we pour into our mining industry, but they had a lot of money and a lot of time to work on these tunnels because they're at war with the Soviet Union for 10 years, and they did extensive work using Western technology, mining technology, to dig and blast, and they've got quite an underground infrastructure. And I think that is what prompted Osama bin Laden to threaten that if we use a nuclear weapon first, they'll respond with a nuke. Now, we don't believe that he has a nuclear weapon, a traditional nuclear weapon, but we do believe he very well may have dirty nukes using nuclear fuel, nuclear material, plutonium, whatever he could get his hands on, spent nuclear fuel, radioactive waste from nuclear power plants, and even from medical facilities, take a conventional bomb and put in and around that bomb radioactive material, then blow it up in an American city, and he could kill 10,000 or far more than 10,000, not with the bomb, but with the dispersed radioactive material. And then that part of that city would be uninhabitable for decades. That'd be quite an attack. So I think what prompted him to say that is that he was thinking that the American military might use a tactical nuclear weapon and explode it underground, maybe 1,000 feet underground, in some mine or some tunnel, and utterly destroy the entire internal structure of this mountain system that Osama bin Laden was holed up in. So in order to help, he thought, his chances of averting that potential, that possibility, he threatened to respond in kind. All right, now. And by the way, in just a moment, I'm going to get to an instant message. I got an IM here on America Online from Paul Bogda in New Carlisle, Indiana. And so I'll respond to that. And a lot of email we're getting at kgovlive@aol.com. And we'll take your phone calls at 303-463-7789 or call toll-free 800-8-NYARD. Right now, before we get on with that, though, just a little bit more here on, we had a direct hit on this building housing members of Al-Qaeda. The Taliban, they've fled south. U.S. officials have been appealing for help from local leaders unaffiliated with the Northern Alliance. As many as, and this is off of ABC News, as many as 23 Pashtun tribes in the south appeared to have risen up against the Taliban. Now, if that's true, that's dramatic. That's great. Because when you destroy your enemy, it is much more successful if you can cause your enemy to destroy itself. Then you have really succeeded. If we could turn Afghanistan against itself and from the north and the south on the Taliban, and there have been reports of Taliban breakaway leaders who are looking to collect some of those millions of dollars and tell us where Osama bin Laden is. Hey, this is getting good.
Let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's where a lot of unbelievers start their argument. They think their ancestors were pond scum. No matter how much you want to agree with them, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. So do you know how to defend creation when someone calls it a fairy tale? What will you say to an evolutionist when he states, "We've been here for millions of years"? Get the information you need to make the evolutionists squirm in their chair. Bob Enyart has been a talk show host and a student of science for many years. He knows the evolutionary argument, and he knows that science proves there is a creator. Genesis Creation is a 6-tape audio album for $29.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-ENYART. The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people, a history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. We produced a 2-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95. Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We are back. Bob Benyard Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, this just in, the Canadians were going to finally commit some real troops, two of their biggest battleships, 600 ground troops and 6 fighter jets, until they figured out after the American exchange rate, all we would end up with were 2 Mounties, 1 canoe, and a flying squirrel. So much for that plan. Hey, I got an email here from New Carlisle, Indiana. Well, actually an instant message. And by the way, that was sent to us by someone whose family lives in Canada. Just sent to us during the commercial break. Here we go. An instant message sent to us concerning Bill O'Reilly. All right. This is what I just sent to Bill O'Reilly, says the instant messenger. When he was complaining that a newspaper was calling him a conservative. Somebody called Bill O'Reilly a conservative? You mean the Bill O'Reilly that likes homosexuals? And he's seems to be against the death penalty, at least when I've heard him talk about it. And he's, all right, we'll talk about Bill O'Reilly more extensively another time. But anyway, he complained a newspaper called him a conservative. You a conservative? Oh, really, O'Reilly? But it's interesting that liberals wish to put a label on anyone that wishes to use facts to establish the truth. Then they call them a conservative. That's what Paul Bogda says from New Carlisle, Indiana. All right. Now, a conservative is anyone. This is what a conservative is. If you look it up in Webster's Dictionary. A conservative is anyone winning an argument. No, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. See, I should have looked it up first. A conservative is anyone. You know what's my problem here? I'm reading instant messages at too fast a rate. That's the problem. So I'm going to say goodbye to this guy. Okay, a racist. What is a racist? That's what I meant to say. A racist is anyone winning an argument with a liberal. That's a racist. Okay. So I got that wrong, but finally recovered. All right. Now, here we got an email from Keith, and I won't give his email ID, but let me tell you what it ends in. It ends in IBM.com. So Keith is an IBM employee. Okay. He emails to KGov and he says, it's a long week here at IBM. The subject is, where are the sermons? Now, our Denver Bible Church sermons, we've not posted on the web in about the last month. And that's just been due to a lack of manpower at our headquarters here. We're simply too busy putting together the studio and the planning for getting Bob Benyard Live back on the air and up on satellite on the Information Radio Network. So we've been too busy to do it. We don't have the staff. We're hoping that as the show grows, the revenue will grow and we'll be able to rebuild our staff. All right, Franklin Master L, I'll get to your instant message in a moment. But first, to finish from IBM. Gentlemen, it's a long week here at IBM, and all I can do to pass the time is keep repeating to myself, diversity is good, diversity is good, diversity is good. It helps to have Bob's Sunday sermons on Monday to absorb and ponder. Did something bad happen and now the Sunday sermons cannot be posted on the KGov's website? No, let me reply, since I don't know if Keith is tuning in right now. But Keith, we answered on the air. No, nothing bad happened. Now, can I type this bad or am I just faking it? Nothing bad happened. We just don't have the manpower. Okay, sign that, Bob. Send now. And now we go to this instant message here. And we'll delete where are the sermons. Instant message. I believe in and I am for the death penalty. But something has been conflicting me. That's always rough when you get conflicted, you know. If God is the institutor of the death penalty, all right, then why is the sentence of hell eternal and not just the second death? So I'm going to write, hey, Franklin, I am me your phone number, and we will call you live on the air, Bob. Okay. And if Franklin sends his phone number, then we'll call him and answer him that way. Or, you know what? I should say, or call me 800-8-NYART. And I'll put a one dash there so he realizes it's a phone number. Okay. Now, so is that enough for email? Or should we do a little more email here? Here, a little more email. How about this from Kirk Zimfer in Indiana? Oh, no. Another Christian church bombed by Muslims. There is a holy war going on, at least on their side. Okay, Franklin Master L, or 1, I can't tell the font, says, okay, I'll call. So let's get ready for a call from Franklin. He wants to talk about the death penalty. Okay, three radical Indonesian Muslim groups said today a bomb attack on a Jakarta church last week was linked to the sectarian conflict in the Maluku Islands. All right, so three radical Muslim groups. I guess that's becoming somewhat redundant to say radical Muslim groups. Extremist Muslim groups, extremist Islamic. Why don't we just say Islamic groups? Three Islamic groups claimed responsibility. That's what we should say. That's it. All right. So anyway, that of course is tragic. Now that's in Jakarta. So not for the public school teachers tuning in right now. It's not in Afghanistan. All right. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to another email here. By the way, our phone number, 303-463-7789. Now, how about this? Here's an email idea. I got to see what my studio audience thinks of this. This comes from a doctor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His email is drdick@ifriendly.com. And here's the suggestion. We scoop up all the rubble from New York City. The huge blocks of concrete, steel, the old busted up computers, refrigerators, hot water heaters, air conditioners, fire trucks, broken glass. We shovel it all into C-130s and C-5As. Well, we should put it into B-52s if we're going to do that. And fly it all over Iraq and Afghanistan and drop it all from 32,000 feet. A frigid air can do a lot of damage from 5 miles up. And then we could also drop pamphlets that say, greetings from the 110th floor of the World Trade Center. The next day it would read, from the 109th floor, then the 108th, and so on. And we do this for 110 days. And then Dr. Dick sends me this email saying, I can see the headlines. World Trade Center strikes back. That is pretty funny. Good job from Tulsa. Thank you, Dr. Dick. Now let's go to Ian Franklin from Indianapolis. And Ian, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
It's great to talk to you. It's easier to do it this way than instant messaging.
Yeah.
So repeat your question for the audience.
The question I had was, I believe in the death penalty and I'm for it, but something has been conflicting me.
Yeah.
If God is the institutor of the death penalty, why is it that hell is eternal instead of just a second death?
Okay. All right. Very interesting question. I'd like to talk about that from a couple angles, but let me start. I want to talk about the countries in the Bible and the rulers that put people in jail, say, instead of just executing or flogging them. And I want to ask you this about the nature of human beings. Do you get the sense from the Bible that human beings are eternal?
Yes.
Or that you can theoretically expunge a human being? You know, like when the Federal Reserve expunges money, they just delete it from existence so that it no longer exists. And is it theoretically possible to expunge a human being as though he had no longer exist, as though he had never existed? Or when God made us, did he make us eternal creatures?
I believe he made us eternal.
That's what I think. I think he put eternity into our souls, into our soul spirits, so that we are eternal creatures. He breathed into Adam, and he gave us a human spirit that is eternal. And God is God, but he's not a magician. So, for example, he can't wink and make believe he never created mankind. Can't do that, because that's irrational. And if he made us as eternal creatures, then he doesn't have the option of annihilating us. And let me give you a biblical argument to back up this, that he put eternity into our hearts. A biblical argument for that is the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ and the suffering that Christ went through for our salvation and the pain that the Father went through in seeing his Son suffer like that. If we were not eternal creatures, why would God have to go through that for us? As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, if God could have deleted them, just expunged them, and either started over or rethought what he wanted to do, then that would be way more reasonable than having his own son suffer and die. Just wipe them out. But because of the notion that God put eternity in our hearts, therefore, that wasn't an option. He couldn't do it. So he can't. The second death could not be the death penalty, as in the person no longer exists. It has to be eternity in hell.
Okay.
Hey, let me give you a verse, Ecclesiastes 3:11, that says that God put eternity in their hearts. And I think that that we can take that literally. Many things in Ecclesiastes you can't, but there are some gems in that book that you can take literally. All right, you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, I was just wondering also, now, you know, eternal punishment seems fair for, you know, people who commit crimes and such. But I kind of want to understand the fairness of maybe someone who, you know how they say, well, they were a good person.
Right.
You know, but they weren't Christian.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about that. But first, let me get to my second point, which was in the Bible, who incarcerated criminals? God never authorized men to incarcerate criminals as a punishment. He only authorized human governments to put someone in custody while the trial is underway. And then once the trial is done, render the verdict and execute the punishment. But don't keep people in prison for 10 or 20 or 50 years. God never authorized that. But in the Bible, we see who did throw people in jail, who used incarceration. It was these groups, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, wicked Jewish kings, false prophets, the Romans, and the devil, symbolically speaking. So when we come back, we'll get to the next question.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them Inyok people! Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out!
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my
bum. All right, we're back. Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, Franklin, I'm hoping you can hold on for just a moment, because I first want to go up north to Loveland, Colorado, and take a quick call from Ray Graybar. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Bob. This is Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let me tell the audience who you are. I don't think they know your voice yet. Ray Graybar is my public relations manager. And Ray, help me remember, what shows have you helped me to get on, and what interviews have you helped me to conduct?
Well, Bob, we were first got started right after your deal that you done in L.A. on O.J.
O.J. Simpson, when we burned O.J. Simpson's memorabilia on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. And you got me right back out to L.A. on ABC's Politically Incorrect.
That's true.
That's true. Any other shows? And I've been on there, I don't recall, 4 or 5 times.
Well, you were invited on 9 times, and I believe you appeared 6 times.
Okay, and we've had 1 or 2 reruns in there.
Absolutely.
We always like when they rerun the shows we're on.
Pardon me?
Ray, we always like when they rerun the shows we're on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how.
That's telling a story there.
I don't know why that works so well, but I think with O'Reilly, one show on O'Reilly, I think they reran it 5 times.
That's right. That was your show on spanking.
That was really quite a kick. You've got me on Sean Hannity.
Right.
On WABC Radio in New York and on Hannity and Combs on Fox News.
Fox News and MSNBC Hardball, Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews, MSNBC. That was a real fun show. I've been
and
on
then
there,
there was a show that came prior to, maybe it was after Chris Matthews, called the Barnacle Report.
Mike Barnacle.
Right.
He gets around. He was on O'Reilly the other night. He gets around that guy. Mike Barnacle on MSNBC, I think that was.
Yes, and that was the one that you talked about.
Bush's drinking daughter.
That's right.
Yeah. I actually defended her.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Well, thank you very much. And so anyway, and others, quite a few others, including interviews on national radio news outlets like Salem Radio News. And so Ray Graybar up in Loveland, Colorado, thank you for all the work you've done helping us reach millions of people with at least sound bites of the biblical message. So, Ray, what brings your call tonight?
Well, Bob, I'm just wondering what kind of interviews you think we should do now that we have this new type of criminal justice system running in the country. It was just
trying terrorists by military tribunals?
That's right.
Ray, I am so excited about that, you don't even know. I can hardly contain myself.
When I first heard that, I thought, where would they get such an idea from?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been in our history. We've done it starting with the War of Independence and in the Civil War. And we've done it during times of national crisis and warfare. And the reason it's such a wonderful idea, now, I don't think the Bush administration is handling this well.
Okay.
John Ashcroft and Dick Cheney are on the news saying that, well, terrorists don't deserve the protections of our Constitution.
Right.
And we need a different kind of justice
right.
for terror. And those statements, I'm thrilled that Bush signed that executive order.
Right.
Even though I'm not a fan of George W. Bush.
I understand.
But it was a good and right thing to do.
By mistake, maybe? No.
No. Well, here's why they did it, I think. That, well, for one, our criminal justice system cannot do this. It's a failure. We already tried the same terrorist for blowing up the World Trade Center. And just this summer, we failed. We didn't execute them. They tried to murder 20,000 people. They killed Americans. They wounded hundreds. And what we said as their punishment is this is how we punish them. We said to these convicted terrorists, we said, we're going to keep you warm in winter, cool in summer. We're going to entertain you, educate you. We're going to medicate you when you're ill, legally represent you. We'll let you play basketball and softball, watch cable television. That's how we're punishing them. They'll have a better life in American prisons than they'd have in Afghanistan.
Very true.
Or Yemen or wherever they're from. Or Saudi Arabia.
I also wonder why it is that when we're trying somebody or trying to bring somebody from another country where they know that we have the death penalty here, they won't let those people come in. We won't let you bring those criminals to the United States.
Yeah, and that's terrible. Those terrorists should be Ray, I would be thrilled to get on an interview with this topic if you could pull that off.
I have some ideas, and there's some people that I think would be very interested in talking about this.
If I were you, I would pitch it not as Bob Enyart, the talk show host, not necessarily, but as Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church.
Certainly.
Since we have these few different ways to go regarding criminal justice and the fact that, you know, I've conducted criminal justice seminars around the country for going on 10 years now. And I think this could work. Here's the problem. The Bush administration, its greatest nightmare was taking Osama bin Laden alive and then having a civil jury in New York City trying him.
Well, yeah, the thought that or the comment that just irked me so bad is they said, we don't think we could find a jury that would be able to handle that.
The guy is guilty. Here's why our administration and, you know, some of the brightest guys they have there, although they're so frequently wrong, but they're bright, they're intelligent, but they don't know how to defend this. They're saying they don't deserve the protections of our Constitution. Well, if you have a set of rules by which you run a country, a just set of rules, then everyone deserves to be treated under those rules. Now, right. What the rules fail to recognize is that our criminal justice system has become a sham. We can't even convict an obvious murderer like O.J. Simpson. We can't execute people who try to murder 20,000 Americans in the World Trade Center, blowing it up, and they only happen to kill a few. But you're not supposed to give them a get-out-of-jail-free card because they're incompetent. They try to murder 20,000 people. They should be executed. You know what we had to do to convict these terrorists on the 93 Trade Center bombing? We had to reveal to the public the structural details of the Trade Center buildings. I don't know if you realize that, Ray.
Okay, go ahead.
In open court, we had to give detailed drawings of the structural framework of the World Trade Center. That's exactly what the terrorists want to know for their second attempt.
Wow.
And we had to give the names of informants. We spent millions of dollars. And what the criminal justice system fails to recognize is that the standard for a conviction is two or three pieces of evidence. That's what it should be. That's what God wants it to be. Our system is so convoluted where you have to have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that it doesn't work. So countless guilty people go free. It takes forever. It costs a fortune, and it's a failure. When a judge, this is how a criminal justice system should work. When a judge sees two or three pieces of evidence, reasonable evidence that someone is guilty of a crime, the judge convicts the criminal. That's it. And what we're trying to do with these military trials is we're trying to revert to a criminal justice system that has a better probability of functioning because it's more nearly right than the legal zoo that we have.
I was so thrilled to hear that when they put some of the details out. Of course, we've heard that in the video that you have, God's criminal justice system.
Yeah.
And I thought, how close are they coming to this?
Yeah, getting a little bit closer. All right. Hey, Ray.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go to get back to Franklin.
Yes.
So, hey, please, I'm glad the audience got to hear you and I brainstorming on how to put together an interview. And, of course, we'll let them know if we can pull it off.
Well, it's always been a very tremendous honor, personal honor to me, to be a part of your organization and what you do, Bob Vineyard.
Thank you so very much.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, Ray.
God bless you. Bye.
And now we go back to Franklin. Franklin, are you still with us?
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm sorry I took that call first, Franklin. And to add injury to insult, we're going to a break. Can you restate your question real quick?
Okay. My question was, if hell is an eternal damnation, why is it justifiable to people who were just considered a good person on earth?
Okay. Okay. Very good. If hell is eternal damnation, how can a just God sentence a pretty good person to hell fire forever?
Let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's where a lot of unbelievers start their argument. They think their ancestors were pond scum. No matter how much you want to agree with them, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. So do you know how to defend creation when someone calls it a fairy tale? What will you say to an evolutionist when he states, "We've been here for millions of years"? Get the information you need to make the evolutionists squirm in their chair. Bob Vineyard has been a talk show host and a student of science for many years. He knows the evolutionary argument, and he knows that science proves there is a creator. Genesis Creation is a 6-tape audio album for $29.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-VINEYARD. The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people. A history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. We produced a 2-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95. Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
And we are back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt, 1-800-836-9278. All right, Franklin, good question. You've got someone who's not a murderer, rapist, thug, but somebody who seems like a nice guy. And how could a just God sentence that outwardly nice guy to hell forever? That's the question, right?
Yes.
Okay. That nice guy wants to go to hell. That's where he wants to live. He does not. If you gave him the choice, even after he died, where do you want to live, heaven or hell? He would pick hell. Have you read any C.S. Lewis?
No, I can't say I have.
All right, C.S. Lewis is a brilliant author, Christian author. He was an atheist, taught at Oxford, and became a Christian. And he wrote a little book called The Great Divorce. And the idea, it was a little fiction book. And the idea was that hell was this huge expanse of a gray city. And there was a bus stop in the middle of hell. And every day people gathered at the bus stop and they got on the bus. And the bus went up into the sky of hell. And it went all the way up to heaven. And they got out and they spent the day in heaven. And at the end of the day, the bus would go back to hell. And these people could either stay in heaven or go back to hell. And at the end of each day, every person decided that they wanted to go back to hell because they hated heaven. That's why people go to hell. They choose to go to hell. They do not want to live with God. They don't want to. So a question for you, Franklin, is do you think a man could force a woman to love him?
No.
You can't. She has to freely love him. And if a woman doesn't love a guy and he says, well, I'm good for you, so I'm going to force you to live with me, that's the ultimate dysfunctional guy. That's messed up, and she will be miserable. It doesn't matter if he could feed her and clothe her and pay the utility bill. That doesn't matter. If he forces a woman to live with him and says to her, you should love me because I love you, and she says, I hate you, I don't want to live with you, then the only healthy, reasonable thing to do is to let her go. And hell is simply the place where people live forever who do not want to live with God. If God let that nice guy into heaven, two things would be certain. Let's say it's Hillary Clinton. Well, she's not too nice, right?
Right.
Maybe that stretches the point. But some people think Hillary's nice. If you let the nice guy, or if you let Hillary Clinton into heaven, two things are certain. One, they'll be miserable. And two, just imagine Hillary Clinton going to a Baptist retreat and being in a log cabin with eight other Southern Baptist godly women. She would be miserable. It would be hell for her. But anyway, two things are certain. One, they would be miserable. And two, they would turn heaven into hell. If people who do not humble themselves and turn to God, if those people end up in heaven, they will turn heaven into hell, just like they've turned earth into hell. There's no choice. God has no choice in the matter. He can only allow those into heaven who love him and want to be there. He cannot force people to love him. That's the way he made us.
Right. It's like good people who aren't Christian are like a virus. It's kind of like that in heaven. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
it's kind of like viral. It'll turn heaven into hell because
yeah,
the progression will rub off on everyone.
Right, exactly. You know, people who don't humble themselves and love God, typically, as they get older, they get more bitter. And one of the reasons the earth became so evil before the flood, Noah's flood, is that men lived for hundreds of years. And their wickedness increased. And so they didn't love God. They didn't humble themselves when they were 20 or 30. And then they were 100 and they still didn't humble themselves. And they were 200 and 500 and 800. And there was nothing but wickedness everywhere on the face of the earth. And so imagine those people who never turned toward God, and they lived for thousands of years and millions of years, they will increase in their hatred of God, and they would turn heaven into hell. God, if he's to be a rational, just, and loving God, cannot force people to go to heaven. He can't do it. He has to allow them to live where they choose to live forever, and that is without God. If you could think of an alternative, rational possibility, I'd love to hear it.
I can't.
Yeah, I do think that's why the Bible presents that as what God will do, because there's no other rational option.
Thanks for clearing that up for me, Bob.
Franklin, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
God bless.
All right, 1-800-8-NYART. Wow, we're almost out of time. No sense to call. Let me do a few more stories here. Okay, we got an email from New York City OK's prayer in school. New York City, the school, the public, this is unbelievable. This is a major news story. Wow, it's amazing what a crisis will do, huh? Could you have ever believed this in 10,000 million years? The New York City public school system has OK'd school prayer during school. And they set aside places in school after school for kids to gather to pray to God, religious. I can't even believe this is unbelievable. The New York City school commissioner, this is out of WABC radio by a talk show host. They had the exclusive on this until now. WABC's newsman, George Weber. George Weber, I know him. I used to talk to him on his show. He was a talk show host here in Denver on Rush Limbaugh's affiliate, KOA Radio. Yeah, George Weber, he's a liberal. He used to do this promo for his show. He'd say, "Hi, this is George Weber. Weber. He said, "Boy, I'm on the radio. You think I could pronounce my own name? George Weber. You know, sometimes you just can't say your name for some reason. Say, George Weber. Anyway, this is his story. He talked to the school's chancellor, Harold Levy, who's confirmed... Unbelievable. No, don't tell me. I just got this email from Kirk Zimfer in Indiana. Don't tell me. They've allowed prayer in public schools for Muslims. I don't believe it. During Ramadan, they've set aside special school-sanctioned rooms for Muslims to go in. You know, and they put their little carpet down. And they get down and they worship the pagan god of Allah. And they bow toward Mecca. Now, if they were in Mecca, they'd go kiss that rock that they think Abraham placed there and worship that rock that they do. Unbelievable. The most anti-religious school district in the country, New York City, allows school prayer sanctioned by the district for Muslims. Forget Christians. Hey, you could distribute condoms in public schools. You could hand out drugs in the form of Ritalin. But don't you dare carry a Bible, buddy. Don't think you're going to pray on school property, buddy. You'll be suspended. Oh, I know, legally you can do that. But these kids don't all know what the rules are, and they get bamboozled. All right. Hey, something similar happened in a university in California, Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California Polytechnic College. The college Republicans put out a flyer for a rally, a pro-America rally for the military, to support the military. And students and faculty are verbally assaulting them and calling them racist. So how's that in America today? You're racist if you love your country and support its battle against terrorism. Wow, what a trip. Hey, you heard about the house in Kabul that we've entered now? The Taliban, when they fled, they forgot that many of their secret documents were stacked up in this house that Western reporters were led to by local Afghans, and we're now reading their top secret documents regarding the weapons they were researching and or building, including chemical weapons, biological weapons, dirty nukes. Yep, we've got their own documentation now on their efforts to design and perhaps build. And we haven't read it all. We've just come upon it in the last 24 hours. A very good development. Of course, we'll keep you informed tomorrow night, this time, Lord willing. Look forward to talking to you. Remember, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.